This is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Many low- and middle-income Americans rely on free in-person filing help to get the most out of their federal tax returns. In a pandemic, however, many people could miss out on help when they need it most and when there are a lot of questions around how the pandemic could affect our finances. We're joined now by two Illinois accounting experts to get into some of these questions as tax season gets away. Mandy Ault is an instructor of accountancy at the Geese College of Business at the University of Illinois. She's also guiding the University of Illinois' VITA program, which offers free tax assistance to low to moderate income people. Mandy, welcome to the 21st.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me.
We're also joined by Jeff Harlow, an accountant and partner at Whipfley in the Chicago suburbs. He's also been an accountant for more than 30 years and is a past chairman of the Illinois CPA Society. Jeff, welcome to the 21st.
Thanks, Brian. Glad to be here.
So, Mandy, can you talk about has VITA, I keep wanting to say VITA, so I'm going to try. Has VITA had to change its process this year, the volunteer tax assistance, because of the pandemic?
Yes, we definitely have had to. We are doing things quite a bit different this year. So last year and in years past, we've done face-to-face meetings where taxpayers would come to classrooms actually here on campus, and the students would sit with them and they would do the tax returns there with the taxpayer. This year, obviously, that's not how we're able to operate. So we are doing some things a little different. We have an intake site that is a local not-for-profit agency that has remained open during the pandemic. They operate a grocery store and thrift store, so they have all sorts of protocols in place and already had that set up. And so they're operating as an intake site where taxpayers come and they're interviewed by trained volunteers there, and there's a mechanism for getting a scan of their documents, and then all of that is sent on to us, and the students here prepare the tax returns virtually, and we do that in a big Zoom room, just as if we were in a classroom together, and they do the tax returns with the help of myself and a couple other of our faculty at the Geese College of Business volunteer their time as well.
And who is eligible to get help through a program like that?
So anyone who has income under $57,000 a year, or is over age 60, or is disabled, or anyone who has limited English speaking capabilities, any of those groups, you don't have to have all of those things, just one of those, fit in one of those groups, and you qualify. We also actually have a new site, type of site this year. It's called a facilitated self-service site, in which case you register and we send you a link to use the TaxSlayer software that we use in the VITA program, and you do your own tax return, and then we will have some virtual help desk sessions, as well as just being able to contact us with questions through email. And those that option is actually open to anyone, regardless of income level or any other qualification. There are some stipulations on just what the software is capable of doing and
Did you say Tax Slayer, like the 80s
yes.
band Slayer? Wow, I like that
tax
name.
Slayer, yes.
and we should mention, this is for listeners in other parts of Illinois, there are programs like this around the state that they can access in their own areas. We need to take a break here. And Jeff Harlow, when we come back, I want to ask you about TurboTax, because that is the tax assistance I think many people feel sort of a love-hate relationship to. They don't like paying the money that you have to pay for it, and maybe they feel like they have to use it. We're going to pose that question to you when we come back. We're also taking your calls with tax questions. 800-222-9455 is the number. Once again, that is 800-222-9455. More about tax season coming up after a short break. This is the 21st. Stay with us. The This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. It's tax season in Illinois, and we're speaking with two Illinois accounting experts to get into some questions, particularly about how the pandemic is going to affect tax season. Programs that allow low and middle income Americans to get free in-person filing help have had to go virtual this year. And then there are just other questions we might have about how the pandemic could affect our finances. We want to take your questions. The number to call is 800-222-9455. If you are planning to file taxes this year, if you're in that position, or maybe you're a new tax filer this year, or you just have had a change in circumstances. 800-222-9455 is the number. We're speaking with Mandy Ault, an instructor of accountancy at the Geese College of Business at the University of Illinois, and also guides the U of I's VITA program, which offers free tax assistance. We're also joined by Jeff Harlow, an accountant and partner at Whipfley in the Chicago suburbs. He's been an accountant for more than three decades and is past chairman of the Illinois CPA Society. So, Jeff, I want to ask you, I think a lot of people feel pressured to use programs like TurboTax because maybe they don't think they can afford an accountant or they're unsure of filing on their own. There was a ProPublica investigation a few years ago that TurboTax hid the free version of their program on their website so that people were more likely to just click on the one you have to pay for. What options do people have if they want to avoid the fees for this kind of tax preparation software?
Well, I think the first thing people need to do is be aware of a program the IRS offers called FreeFile that basically partners with commercial tax preparation companies like TurboTax. And if your income is less than $72,000, you have the ability to use one of these commercial tax preparation products for free.
And does that apply state and federal taxes, or is there a difference there?
I believe that that applies to both state and federal taxes. You have to look at the fine print. There are a number of different products that are available, and some do charge for a state tax return, but some do not. It's just a question of being careful when you review the products that are there.
Let me ask you, what is your general opinion of tax preparation software as somebody who is, you know, in the business of being doing tax preparation, human-powered tax preparation? Do you think it's generally a good thing, or is it something that people should be more skeptical of than they are?
Well, the classic accountant's answer is it depends. There are different strata of taxpayers out there. A firm like mine focuses on people that have higher levels of income and much more complicated tax situations, and not everybody needs that. Somebody who has a simple situation, say they have a job and receive a Form W-2, they take the standard deduction, frankly, they don't need a firm like Whipfley to do their tax return. And for somebody like that, TurboTax is a very viable option and can do a very good job for them.
And Jeff, is there anything that people should keep in mind this year, specifically when filing taxes, related to any changes in the law or specifically related to the pandemic?
Oh, there always are changes in the law, and the pandemic has just made things even more confusing this year, to be quite honest with you. So a couple of things people should be aware of. First of all, even if you don't itemize, you can still claim a charitable contribution deduction up to $300. You know, that's something that's going to apply, I believe, to a lot of people this year, and it provides a real benefit. The other thing that I think is really critical to be aware of is if you didn't receive the full amount of the first two waves of stimulus payments, you may still be able to claim what's called a recovery rebate credit on your 2020 tax return if you qualify based on your 2020 income. And there are a lot of situations out there where people were making fairly good money in 2018 and 2019, the years that the original stimulus payments were based on, but they lost their job in 2020, or they saw their income go down dramatically, and all of a sudden, you know, they're entitled to that full credit on their 2020 tax return.
Interesting. Okay. And that was actually one of my next questions. Mandy, maybe I'll pose this to you. For people who have been hard hit economically by the pandemic, is there any benefit to filing as soon as possible? We just heard about, you know, potentially helping with stimulus payments that you might be eligible for now that you weren't in the past. Are there any other, you know, reasons to kind of get going on the taxes this year rather than waiting for, April 14th, April 15th?
Yeah, I think there are a couple of reasons, actually. So there's a new round of stimulus money that's being that has actually passed the House and is going to the Senate and expected to be passed soon. And that stimulus money is going to be based off of either the 2019 tax return or the 2020 tax return, whichever is the more recent one on file at the time that the payments start happening.
And just so to be clear, people get confused about this. The 2020 tax return is the one we're filing this
right
year.
Now.
Yeah.
Right,
okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So just like Jeff was saying, that you could claim those previous waves of stimulus money if you didn't get them because your 2019 income was too high and you qualified based on your 2020 income. The same is true for this third round of payments, that if you're going to qualify, if you would qualify based on a 2020 tax return but did not qualify based on a 2019 tax return, getting that tax return done and submitted now will get you that stimulus money quicker. So the faster you do that, the faster you're going to get that money. Also, just note that the people who are set up for direct deposit with the IRS are going to get those stimulus payments the fastest. So that would be one reason. Another reason is just more practical for people who are going to need help with a program like VITA. There are just many of the sites are not opening this year, and so the capacity is limited, and sites are going to start filling up, I would say probably fairly soon in the next several weeks, just because of the limited capacity and the huge demand. We're seeing a lot of people that need to file tax returns because of the stimulus money that have not filed in the past, so the demand is even greater, and a lot of sites haven't been able to open, and so you might see those sites filling their all of their slots fairly soon.
Interesting. Okay. And let's go to the phones now at 800-222-9455. I'll mention we did get a call from Sue in Peoria, who just wanted to note that there are often programs locally, like in through the local library, might offer free tax help or can connect you with it. Also, AARP has a program as well for people. And Derek is on line 4 from Springfield. Derek, thanks for calling in.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Because of the pandemic here, I'm down to one income in my household, and I was hit with for the first time, I owe the government $8,000. Now, my question is about, I got a statement from PayPal this year. That's the first thing I've never had that before. And my quote income through PayPal is about $8,000. However, I'm having trouble figuring out how to separate this because it didn't keep the greatest records. Some of that quote income is reimbursement from purchases, or if I paid for a trip with friends and they paid me back in my PayPal account, it's all mixed in there. So how do I?
Oh, so like a small business income mixed in with personal, all on the same PayPal. Okay,
yes.
Okay. Good question, Derek. Thanks for calling in with that, Mandy. I wonder if you have a perspective on that.
Sure. I would say, just generally speaking, when you have a small business, and this is really common that people kind of commingle all the assets and the record keeping and all of that, it's a very, very common thing. But it is really important to keep those separate. So I would recommend having separate PayPal accounts. I don't know a lot about how PayPal does their record keeping, but really, as far as the IRS is concerned, it is on the taxpayer's responsibility to have those records and to keep that kind of separate. So whatever you can do to verify what each transaction was and what it was for would be what I would say to do. I don't know what kind of business you have. It's hard, kind of hard to answer that question. But just generally speaking, the the best thing to do is to have even a separate checking account for your business assets and your business activity. And that way you can keep it separate a lot easier. But this is a really common issue for people with small businesses.
Okay, let's take another call. Tim is on the line from Charleston. Tim, thanks for calling in.
Hi, I'm a VITA volunteer down here.
Yeah, and thank you.
One of the things that we're running into, of course, is that people don't remember if they got their $1,200 check or their $600 check. And I was just wondering if you knew anything about what will happen should someone say, no, I didn't get it. And then the IRS, I would think, would be checking on that and say, oh, yeah, you did. Because it seems that they are getting bigger refunds if they claim not to have received the economic impact payment.
Okay. Thanks for the question, Tim. Thanks for volunteering in that tax assistance program. Jeff, what do you think about that?
No, I think it's a very common issue this year. One can go to the IRS website, irs.gov, and create an account. And once that account is created, you can look up how much you received as a stimulus payment for both of the first two rounds. Now, in order to create an account, you generally need to have a little bit of your prior information. I've known people that have encountered problems getting the identity verification to work online, so they have to wait for account information to be mailed to them via snail mail, which is another reason to get started now, in addition to the very good reasons Mandy gave. But at the IRS website, you can look up what the prior stimulus payments were.
And those are not taxable, right? Am I right about that, Jeff?
Oh, that's very correct. Okay. That's a very good point to bring up. Stimulus payments are not taxable. Unlike unemployment benefits, of course, which are.
Interesting. Mandy, another question coming up this year maybe are charitable deductions. A lot of people who were able to continue working from home during the pandemic, did not face layoffs, and were not able to travel, spend money on vacations and things like that, might be in a better position financially. Is there a change in charitable deductibility of contributions? I'm mixing up my words there, but I think you gather where I'm trying to go.
Yeah. Just so as Jeff mentioned, there is the above the line, which means what it means is you don't have to itemize your deductions to take this particular deduction, and that is $300 per person of charitable contribution giving. So people need to be aware of that they can use that even if they don't itemize. So just a little bit of background. Back in 2018, the tax law changed pretty significantly, and many, many more people started using the standard deduction instead of itemized deductions. And charitable contributions is an itemized deduction. So when you're preparing your tax return, you look at all of your itemized deductions and you compare that to the standard deduction, whichever is higher is the one you use. Because of some law changes, a lot more people are using the standard deduction now and they're not getting to utilize those charitable contributions. However, in a year like this, if someone really did really increase their charitable giving, that might make the difference between itemizing and taking the standard deduction. So if you've always taken the standard deduction the last several years, you might want to look at that again if you've made a lot of charitable contributions, because that can often be the trigger for someone to itemize rather than take the standard deduction. But even if you don't, like Jeff said, you can take this $300 deduction in addition to your standard deduction.
Okay, and I think we're going to have to leave the conversation there. We are out of time. I want to thank Mandy Ault, who's an instructor of accountancy in the Geese College of Business at the University of Illinois, also guides the University of Illinois' VITA program, which offers free tax assistance to people of low and moderate income. We've also been speaking with Jeff Harlow, who's an accountant and a partner at Whipfley, based in the Chicago suburbs, and is the former chairperson of the Illinois CPA Society. Mandy, Jeff, thanks so much for being with me today on the 21st.
Thank you.
Listeners, before we go, I want to make a pitch for joining our texting group. We do hear interesting things from you. It informs our coverage. You can join by texting the word TALK to 217-803-0730. Again, the word is TALK to 217-803-0730. You can find out more about that at our website, 21stshow.org, where you can also subscribe to our podcast. Our program is produced by Anna Casey and Ryan Wild. Chantal Vaca is our engagement producer, and our interns are Zainab Qureshi and Brielle Skullark. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick's our news director. I'm Brian Mackey, and the 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media.